That's why we cook our food in that kitchen. Some of you never been in such a place. So, because of time, we say let us cut a little bit. Some of those children, you see, they have never been on the bed, the bunk bed. So it was kind of a celebration. You may say, Brother V, where do you get all those children? We never go to the street to get them. But some of them, they stay with their great parents, and they cannot, their great parents, they cannot help them. So when they came to our center, and they can eat breakfast, they can eat lunch, and then they can come and mingle and pray with the children, and they go to classes and study, they don't go back. So after getting those beds and mattresses, we got newcomers. So you saw them on the floor. Those were newcomers. They just came from nowhere and they stay there. And we had it also to look for what we can do for them. So they are with us and they study. So we still need some few beddings to cover those who are on the floor. That was now only male dorm. So we have a few male dorms also. So we have also many children lives there. So we are still believing God for more bunk bed, maybe 60 of them, so that we can cover 30 and 30 and cover them. Three in one. So three mattresses and one bunk bed cost 161, including all as you have seen. It takes a little bit collecting and collecting and do it in wholesale. When you do wholesale, it will be cheaper. When we just buy one, two, it will be more expensive. That's why you saw we had a full truck of mattresses, trucks and trucks of bunk bed because of that price so that we can accommodate. So we still believe in more for 60 bunk bed so that we can have those covered. Maybe you never go to Africa, but your bunk bed can be there and you can be a blessing. So that's what we do, pray and see what the Lord can lead you. Somebody say amen. I want to share with you in the word of God, the Lord that has put in my heart, which I know it is going to bless you, motivate you, challenge your faith, and your life will never be the same again. As you know, we have been in pandemic. We are still in COVID, corona things. Everything is slow. When they opened up in November in Uganda, because they closed in March last year and opened up in November, our church, we are totally down. So we had to go back on the street and preach the gospel. And people say, how are we going to get people? Our people, they have gone to villages. They left the city because of the hunger. They couldn't stay in the city. So when they open up, the church of almost 700-800 people, we had like a 60 member. It was like empty. And then it took like a full month. We are not regaining any new people coming. And then I had to pray and pray. So in December, last week of December, the Lord spoke to me and said, what you have to do, go back in the field. So I went back in the field. And I said, how am I going to do it? You know, when you used to have a big crowd, we go, we do crusades, over 15,000 people come on the open air crusade in the field. Now you are telling me to go to preach on the street, preaching 100 people or 200, it is too hard. I'm not used. I know you're going to put a big pulpit, you put lights, you put speakers. We had singers and everything is wonderful. So I had to go on the street. The first day it was hard. I had to preach a simple message about John 3:16. So God loved the world so much. He sent only begotten son. I begin to feel courage again. You know, and I hear the voice tell me, preach more. And I shouted louder. So God loved the world so much. He sent only begotten son. And whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have eternal life. Come to Jesus today. And I said, wow. And I see people standing on the street. Now I'm on the street. I was preaching on the street. And I keep preaching. Hey, come to Jesus. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. The end is near. And I saw people coming. And I said, free grace. Come to the salvation. Because Jesus died for you. He didn't die for American alone. He didn't die for Europeans alone. He died for you and I. And I saw people coming. And I said, open up your heart. Jesus is here. Free grace. The Bible says, come and buy without paying. Come and get. Come and eat without buying. And I, on the end, I given them the invitation in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 that behold, he is standing outside the door knocking. If any man hear my voice and he hear my voice, I'll open for him. Today Jesus want open for you. And I saw people crying and I said, wow. And then on the end, I say, how many people who want to give their life to Jesus? Lift up your hand. And we had over 47 people lifting up their hands. And I said, wow, that was Friday. And on Saturday, I went. We had almost 42 people give their life to Jesus. And on Sunday, almost brand new people, over 80 came to the church for the first time. 8 brand new people come to the church. It was just amazing, exciting. And I preached to them. And I said, I'm not going to leave now. I'm going to continue. And I went the following day, my following weekend, we had over 50. And I went to another street. We had over 100. And I'm telling you today, as I'm speaking to you, our church, 70%, they are brand new people from the street, given their life to Jesus, and I have baptized all of them. It is such a joy. It is such a joy. That's why sometimes when I'm in town, even if I'm not come to preach, sometimes I come and listen to this brother. I love his approach. I love Brother Mill, his approach, the way he talks. Very few people of his color try to do what he does. Sometimes you think, he's a black guy, is what? You know, he doesn't care about his voice. When he preaches, he preaches heart out. He doesn't care whether he will go hoarse. He just preaches. You know, when you remember where God get you from, you don't forget, you just want to share what God has done for you. You want to share with others. And that's why sometimes I came and sit down here and watch him and listen to him. And I just enjoy him. Somebody say amen. Not necessarily that I have to come and preach. Sometimes you go and you listen to others. It blesses you. Go with me in the book of Acts of Apostle. Acts chapter 8. Acts was written by Luke. Luke was a doctor. And after writing in the book of Luke, he came down and also wrote in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, where you're going to find a lot of action. I want to talk to you about a lot of this. In the book of Acts chapter 8, I want to talk about this man, Philip, and Samaria. Those two things. And my theme today, I want to talk to you about the journey. We are on the journey. And this journey is not going to end in Columbus, so Columbus, Mississippi, or Birmingham, Alabama. This journey is long until Jesus comes. The book of Acts, chapter 8, and verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc to the church, entering into every house, and hearing men and women, committed them to the prison. And therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Number 5. And then Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord give heed or attention into the things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing miracles which he did. For unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice, come out for many. And they were oppressed with them that were taken with palsy, and that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy
in the city. Number 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out of himself that he was great, to whom they all give heed or give attention, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man has the power of God. Number 11, and to him they all had regarded to, because that of long time he had bewitched them of the sorcery. I'll just end there because I want to give you some verses also. I want to start from there. May God bless the reading of the word. I want to talk to you about the journey. Christianity is a journey. And we are not going to end in somewhere in the big journey, on the big city, but we are going to keep moving. The Bible says there was a man by the name Philip. Philip was an evangelist. Matter of fact, it doesn't say evangelist Philip, or Bishop Philip, or Dr. Philip, simply Philip, or Brother Philip. And Philip was evangelist. The Bible says on that time, he decided to go down to Samaria. When I talk about the city of Samaria, Samaria is known of the bad things that were taking place in Samaria. Samaria was a place of drunkenness. Samaria was a place of prostitution. Samaria was a place of non-believers. And that's where Philip went down to Samaria. And do you know what can change a sinner? It's not how nice we look. It's not how beautiful church we have. What can change a sinner is the preaching of the gospel. When the gospel preached, it doesn't change only the sinner. It can change you also. It can change us also. That's why we come every Wednesday and we come Sunday morning and Sunday night. And people may ask you, don't you get tired to go to church? Don't you get tired to go to church every Wednesday, every Sunday? Don't you have something to do? You can't stay home and watch TV and watch football and tell them, I've been watching football for all my life. But now it is my time to give that time to the Creator, whose name is Jesus. The Bible says while he was down there in Samaria, he preached the gospel, and many, many people given their life to Jesus. On verse 8, the Bible says, and the city was full of joy. Do you know what brings joy? It's not the money. It's not a nice car. It's not a nice truck or Mercedes Benz. Which gives the joy is the word of God. When the word of God is preached, the joy will come. Remember, you are given free and you must give out freely. You know, the word of the cross or the word of the grace is just given us freely. We are saved by grace and grace alone. And by that grace, it brings joy in our lives. The Bible says, and Philip preached the gospel, and all city of Samaria was full of joy. What can change a human being and mankind? It is the word of God. The Bible says in the city of Samaria, that is a city where Jesus went one day on his journey. I'm talking about the journey. Jesus was on his journey in the book of Luke, and he was tired. He was tired of his journey, and also he was thirsty. He ended on the well. While he was on the well, he had no cup. He had no glass to drink a water because he was thirsty. And there coming a Samaritan woman. She was in the Samaria. And Jesus asked her, please, mama, can you help me to get a cup of water? And this woman said, hey, remember we are Samaritan. You are Jews. We have no dealings with the Jews. Please back off on me. And Jesus said, I wish you know who is asking you a drink. Because the drink you're going to give to me, I'll drink and cut the thirstiness. But the water I'll give to you, you will never be thirsty again if you drink. When you drink on Jesus, you will never be thirst again. And that's why when you come to Africa, you'll find us and you say, these poor people, you'll find us clapping our hands. And say they are crazy, you'll find us jumping. Not because we are doing gymnastic, we are jumping for Jesus. What you can do to God is to give all you have to Him. Because Jesus is the answer of your life. And remember, Jesus is coming very soon. You may say, Brother V, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Yes, you are. And that's why every day in our journey, we have to check out our steps. We have to check out our Christianity. If Jesus comes tomorrow, are you going? And that's why today, this morning, we had an invitation. Why do you, Brother Mills, give invitation to people who are believers? Yes, we have to do it. Because every day passed by, it is a miracle. Because I don't know whether I'll make it tomorrow. I don't know if I'll make it the other day. But when I put my things together tonight, and Jesus come in the middle of night, I'm ready to go. He doesn't give invitation so that you can get saved. He gives invitation so that you can renew your walk with Him. And that's why He gives invitation. Hey, come and renew. Don't tell me, Brother V, I've never messed up this week. I've been so nice. I am a child of God. Unless you're an angel. But if a human being, somehow, somewhere, we mess every time, every hour. But we thank God for the church of Jesus Christ. That when we mess up, we come on the altar and renew our life with Him. And that's why we are here. And that's why we come over here. You don't come here because you have to get saved. You are saved. Once you are saved, you are saved. But coming on the altar is to renew your walk. And Philip spoke the gospel to the city of Samaria. And after many, many people given their life to Jesus. And hear me, they didn't stop there. There was a man by the name Simon. Simon, he was a witch doctor. He was a sorcerer. But also, when he had Jesus, he given his life to Him. He said, even me, I want Him. Even me, I want Jesus. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen, the end is near. You have seen pandemic or coronavirus are killing thousands and thousands. Matter of fact, in America alone, by statistic, you can be reached 1 million people who have died of COVID. Since the COVID began, we may be lost 1 million people because of COVID. And if that 1 million people died without giving their life to Jesus, there is no heaven for them. If you die, it doesn't matter you come to church because your grandma used to come to Union. Your great-grandpa used to come here. If you personally, you have never surrendered and walk with Him, I'm telling you, the heaven will be so hard for you. You don't go to heaven because your mama come to church. You don't go to heaven because your grandpapa come to church. You don't go to heaven because your grandmama, he bought some 10 pews in the church. Yes, she did good to buy some pews in the church, but it doesn't qualify you. Christianity, it is a personal matter. Salvation, it is a personal matter. You may say, why, Brother V, shouting? I am speaking to you because I'm on my journey. Jesus was on His journey. And that's why He met this woman, a Samaritan woman. Philip was on his journey. Brother Mills is not going to stay here forever. He's on his journey. One day, you may wake up and you hear bad news. Brother Mills has gone to be with the Lord. Bad news. Brother V, the African man who used to come here, he didn't make home. He has gone to be with the Lord. And I'll just say glory to God. I'm going to meet Him. One day we shall be there. I want you to check your heart today. I was doing a revival a few days ago somewhere, New Perspective Baptist Church. And there were 3 days revival. And every day we give invitation. There is two gentlemen, elderly. Whenever I give invitation for repentance, he should come. He could come. And he kneeled down and he asked a prayer of repentance. And I say, man, you got saved a few days ago. He said, I feel there is still something missing. And I said, all right. When I give my life to Jesus, whenever a preacher come to preach in our town and he give people invitation, how many want to give their life to Jesus? I was number one. And my friend Abraham asked me, I say, don't you remember you got saved the last months? I said, I remember, but I want to add more. You got saved. I said, I feel I want it. You know, when you give your life to Jesus, these things of salvation become more sweeter. And that's why you have to check yourself every day. My brother just get baptized today. It is wonderful. When I given my life to Jesus, this is what happened. The preacher was a very tall guy. And you know, it's my height. We are in the same height as Brother Mills. And on a different color, but we have some blood. Same blood. Same blood. If you cut him, you cut mine, you can't separate the blood. Same red one. And you know what the preacher said? We are going to baptize you, young man. And you are going to get a new you. I said, what? New me? Totally me? He said, yeah. When we put you in the water, we'll get you. You will not be the same. Do you know what it came in my mind? Since I'm short, when I'm going in the water, I'll come back tall. I had short hair. So if I'm going there, and this is what happened, I was so eager to be baptized. When you give your life to Jesus, never take long to be baptized. Because when you get baptized, there is a new transformation in you. So they took me and put me in the water. And I came out. I look on myself. I touch my head. The preacher didn't know why I was touching my head. Hair the same. I look on my height. I'm still short. I said, this man said, I'm going to be new. And then I asked the local preacher. The guy said, I'm going to be new. I thought I'll come back tall and looking different. He said, yeah, in the spirit, you are different. Matter of fact, from that day, I begin to hate sin. After that baptism, my life was transformed. I didn't want to mess up anymore. Because of that baptism, my life changed. So if you are here and you haven't been baptized, you better meet your pastor and tell him, sir, I want to be baptized. Because when you get baptized, something is going to happen. Your life is going to change. Ladies and gentlemen, when I talk about the journey, in the journey there is a process. You're given your life. Process number one, we have baptized you. Process number two, you are going to come to the Bible study every Wednesday, Sunday morning. If you are committed for 3 years, oh, your life will not be the same. You'll go out in Southern Alabama and begin to preach. You'll go to Sargent and begin to preach. And you tell them, one day I was walking and I met this man. His name is Brother Mill. He preached to me and my life was changed. Everybody has a testimony to tell. If you have no testimony to tell, you are in the wrong place. You need to have a testimony to tell. This man will tell you, he met me on the street. I was walking and this man preached to me. And something convinced me. And on the last Wednesday, son, I was on the church. I didn't take long. I was baptized. Christian journey. Some of you are on the middle way of your journey. But we are still moving. Sometimes we feel like giving up. Because the journey is too long. But God says, stay there. I want to give you one verse. I still have 2 minutes. Somebody say amen. Yeah, I still have 2 minutes to go. I want to give you one verse here. In the book of Judges. The book of Judges here. Judges in Old Testament, chapter 18. I want to give you one verse. Chapter 18 and verse 9. It says, and they said, arise, that we may go up against them. For we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And yeah, still, be not slothful to go. Go enter, possess the land. And this is what God is speaking to me, to us. Don't sit down, but arise. Go. We are here to possess. And the land is so good. The Lord has allowed you to be in this great nation, in the face of the world. Some people are killing themselves to be here. I'm from Uganda, but I wouldn't allow them to vaccinate me because I was so scared to get vaccine in Uganda. But when I come here in the land of abundance, I say, I can get vaccinated because I can trust the land. I can trust the country. I'm from there, but I can't trust the doctors in my country. I can't trust them. I don't know what kind of vaccine, but when I come here, because everything goes through a process, I can trust. I can say, do it. And if you put something bad in me, it will not harm me. Why? The Bible says, even if you drink a deadly poison, it will not harm you. So if you inject me something, I don't say you go buy poison and drink, you'll die. Yeah, you can say, oh, the preacher said, if you drink deadly, you'll not die. Hey, you'll die. Don't try to take poison. I don't want to be sued here in Brother Mill. I want you to go and be very smart. Somebody say amen. But if they inject you, because you don't know what they're putting in you, nobody knows what they put in you. Especially elderly age, they are vaccinated. You don't know what they put on you. They are put on me. I don't know what they put on me. But one thing I know, it will not harm me. Because the Bible says, even if you drink deadly thing, it will not harm me. Therefore, if they put injection on something ugly, it is not going to harm me. And most of my people told me, are you not get sick? I said, no, that is the way to go. I have to fly. They told me if I'm coming from United States, going back home, I need to have a certificate because America is counted as a high risk because so many people died. I said, okay, I'll do it. And I do it with happiness. And don't tell me it is an end time. It is a beastie. It is what? There are many things comes with preacher. Beastie, 666, all those kind of stuff. The Bible never said beastie will come from injection. I never read it anywhere where the Bible says that the beast and the 666 and the mark of the Pope will come, you know, all those kind of stuff. Hey, you better go and get vaccinated. Matter of fact, that is our job to do, to tell our people, to encourage them. You are not going to die. Don't tell anybody, don't hear anybody say, oh, you are going to die. Oh, man, that thing, you know, it is from the devils, you know, from the devils. Devil doesn't work like that. Devil doesn't work like that. You just allow God to be God. Time is coming that you need to have that certificate, whether you like or not. And life has to go on. And if you die with those injections, you go to heaven anyway. You people, you want to go to heaven, but you don't want to die. How many people want to go to heaven? Lift up, oh. How are you going to go to heaven without that? This life will end somewhere. When I was young, I didn't have this line. My face was so clean, smooth. Now I have line here. My hair, I went to comb, I see hair, it is going out. And I sit down here, it is going out. Mean that I'll end somewhere. I check out under my eyes, there are some lines. Mean that I'll end somewhere. When I sit nowadays, I don't sit like my little sister here. I have to figure out when I'm sitting down. But this one, she'll just come, ooh, sit. Me, no. My back will be broken. I'll not fix it. This one can fix, but me, no fix. Every cut or brother meal, no fix. You are going to the wheelchair. You'll preach on the wheelchair. So I'll have to be careful when I'm sitting down, because the bones cannot connect anymore. Why? That means that the life will end one day, and we shall go to see and meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As we are going in this way of evangelism, on our mission, on our journey, you have to be prepared. I'm finishing with this. The Bible says, arise. And also, I want you to know that the life has to stop somewhere. But this journey will continue. When your life ends somewhere, this younger star will continue with the legacy, will continue moving. This Union Chapel or this Union Baptist Church is not going to stop to Brother Mill. When Brother Mill retire, if he will, but another little generation will come. When the time comes and he cannot shout like he do, time is coming. Right now he's still energetic, you know. He still feel it, but the time is coming when he gets 70. He cannot shout no more. He'll be coming and say, brothers and sisters, the Bible says, so God loved the world. You know, heaven is a good place. Brothers, heaven is a good place. Yes. And then you flash him back 20 years ago when he was preaching. Hey, brothers and sisters, behold, Jesus is standing knocking. Hey, come out, come out. Sometimes when Brother Mill hold your hand, you feel like it's going to break it. Why? Because the energy is still there. But on the journey, as we are moving one day, we'll stop somewhere. And as I tell my people, teenagers in our orphanage and in elementary, I tell them, one day you'll not see me here, but another people will take over. When I get 70, I'm not going to shout and jump and do like I'm doing exercise. No, it'll be over. Jesus is coming very soon. And that's why we have an altar or invitation. We do invitation to check ourselves. You say, Lord, check me out. Don't tell me what about my fiancé is going to laugh at me. Don't care about your fiancé. In heaven, you're not going with your fiancé. You go alone. You're not going with your wife. You go alone. Don't tell me, I'll go with my wife. The Bible says there will be two in the bed. One will go. Another one remain. The Bible never said, you'll be two in the bed. You will go like a twins. No way. Or you'll be in the house with four children. You and your four children, like Joshua said, that I and my house, I will serve the Lord. Then we shall go. No, it is about you. Maybe your wife, she's doing good with her Christian walk. One day you wake up, you try to touch mama. Where are you? She gone. You got the bedroom for your daughter. She's not there. She gone. Then you got your neighbor to check out Mr. Jonas. Jonas has gone. What is happening here? You meet another pastor somewhere. I say, man, all my members, I don't know where they went. Can we go to police station and report? You got the police station and you find that car. The officers are not there. You dial 911. Nobody picking up. I don't know. Is it 911 here? Okay, I thought in Africa. You find nobody picking the phone. So today, on the date of June 13th, 2021, you can make yourself straight. Check out yourself. Don't tell me, Brother V, I'm okay. I went in the morning. What about between morning and now? Maybe somehow something happened. Today I want you to sleep like a baby and tomorrow wake up like a lion. Ready to go. Your life is straight. The Lord have set you free. And that is the origin of the church. You have not come here to talk about projects and oh, what we did in Africa. I have come here to let you know about this man, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not a black man. He's not a white man. He is the Son of the living God. We are not going to a black heaven and white heaven like we think when we are here on the earth. Oh, I'm going to black thing. No way. I'm going to white thing. No way. We are going to heaven of those who are washed in the blood of Jesus. And that is you and I. When Jesus comes, I'm telling you to shake your hand and say, well done. Well done. Man, I'm looking forward for that day. As I'm calling my big brother. Come, brother. So we're going to do this. Stand up on your feet. I've done my part. What remains is your part. So it is your part to accept. It is your part to take a step. To take a step of faith. It is your part to say, Lord, come in my life. It is your part.